Good day, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. This is episode 38, season 2. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. Today's date is July 11th, 2021. And this program is brought to you by Polk Brothers Appliance Stores. And here is a commercial from 1983.
Polk Brothers brings you the miracle of moisture in an exciting new way. The Douglas Ultrasonic Humidifier, quietly atomizing up to 4 gallons of comforting humidity a day into your home or apartment. Polk priced at only $99.95. And with your Sonic Mist Humidifier for only $4, you get a Polk Brothers Extra, your own money-saving Cobra telephone, complete with a 25-foot extension cord. See the Douglas Sonic Mist Humidifier at all Polk stores today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial from Polk Brothers. What a wonderful store. We all miss it. Everybody in Chicagoland grew up with that store. They had everything. Everything. That's amazing. I wrote a story about Polk Brothers on my blog, and it's you can find it there on vanishedchicagoland.blog. It was published on November 15th, 2020. And I talked about the history of it, how it got started, and my memories of that store, that things that we purchased, my family and I, that is. And so I'll start in the beginning, and here we go. So Polk Brothers was a large, large appliance store. Had a lot of electronics later on, and it was founded by a man named Saul Polk. And that store opened in 1935, and it was first called Central Appliance and Furniture, and the address was at 3334 North Central Avenue. And he ran the business, but also his brothers. His brothers' names were Sam, Harry, David, and Morris. And they had a sister. Her name is Gisela. Her name is Goldie. And it was renamed Polk Brothers in 1946. And I believe it moved from that location to 2850. I'm not sure. I have to check the photos of that. And yeah. Yeah, 2850 North Central. And everyone remembers the neon sign with the big General Electric logo. And then at night it flashed and with the other lights. And people told me it's gorgeous. It was a beautiful store, when you looked outside of it. And let's see. So that was very, very popular story at the time. And it was very dominant in the electronic appliance era. So it was also known for its aggressive salesman. So they call it the aggressive "let's make a deal" salesman. You know, the moment you walk into the door, they were right there, and they would they say they help you, but they were like watching you like a hawk. First, you would tell them, you know, I like to browse and all that. But if you knew what you wanted to buy, they will direct you. They will tell you. These guys were very knowledgeable, very informative. They could be pushy. A lot of people don't like pushy salesmen. I can understand that. I don't like it either. But sometimes when you go to a store and you can't find anybody, that's frustrating. It really is. So can't win either way. And so Saul Polk, you know, he ran the business until not before he went out of business. He died in May 15, 1988. And the business, it went out of business in 1992, and they had their assets transferred to the Polk Brothers Foundation, which is still there. And they donated $20 million to the redevelopment of Navy Pier, and they have a park and a fountain at the entrance of the pier. And it's called the Polk Brothers Park and Fountain. If I ever go to Navy Pier one day, I will take a look at it. It sounds very nice, very nice, you know. And it was also one of the first to advertise on TV in color. And they advertised color television. And so that was pretty cool like that. And then, let's see, what else? The things that my family purchased, when we moved to the Ashburn neighborhood in Chicago on the southwest side, we needed a refrigerator. So there was a Polk Brothers store at Ford City Shopping Mall, and we went there and we bought a General Electric brown refrigerator, which is still, we still have it. It's in the garage. I've taken photos of that, and my mom uses it for storage, but it was sturdy. The quality was wonderful, and we had to make our own ice. You know, it had ice trays. You know, it wasn't automatic, but it didn't matter. We took turns, you know, if we ran out of ice, me and my brothers and my mom would fill up the ice tray and then fill it in. And another thing we bought was a color television. And that was our first one. I wrote a story about that as well on my blog. And it was a Zenith. And we bought it the same year, 1974. There's a picture of me, my brothers, and my mom. It's on my profile on Facebook, if you can find a photo, and we're standing beside it, and the show that was playing on the television was Buzzle Circus. So I think we went to church one day, and it was probably on a weekday, and I don't know what day it was exactly. I mean, maybe for a special occasion, and then so that was cool seeing that. And I remember the first TV show in color. Well, actually, it was a movie. First movie I saw in color on that television was The Long, Long Trailer that starred Lucille Ball and Dizzy Arnaz. That was released in 1954. And it looked beautiful back then. I mean, now everything is, you know, it's HD, 4K. It's gorgeous. It still is. But that was, at the time, it was phenomenal. It looked very nice. Okay. Then we bought other things there. I think we bought a couple of appliances, maybe, and probably a vacuum cleaner we bought once. And they did have vacuum cleaners. They had stoves, microwaves, anything. Yeah, anything you wanted. Radios, stereos. You know, the locations, I can think of them on the top of the head. There was another on the south side. There was one on 85th Street in South Cottage Grove. A lot of people remember that. And then there was one on West 63rd Street, east of Kedzie Avenue. The one at Fort City opened in, I don't think it opened in when Fort City opened in 1965. I think it opened later, probably the year later it opened. Then it moved to another location, probably in the late 70s or early 80s. My guess is late 70s. It moved to 83rd Street and South Cicero in Burbank, Illinois. And it was there until it closed. And we shopped there as well. The most famous, a few famous things that came out of the store was the Santa Claus and snowman displays. And those are sought after. You know, you can still find them on eBay to buy. But during the 60s, they were very popular. They gave them away when you purchase an appliance. They also had Christmas trees on sale. That too. And those are, and you, I, someone told me that you could find them at antique stores. And I had the urge to go buy one when I go visit antique store because it's so, you know, nostalgic. It's beautiful. Then another thing they had was called the, I'm trying to pronounce it, the Pokalali. Pokalali. So it was like a string ukulele. And You would receive that when you purchase a refrigerator or any other appliance, and that was made a company called the Peterson Company. And they came in two colors. One was red, one was black. So, and I think the most rare ones were the black ones. So when I was growing up, I kind of remember something about an instrument. You know, it was very, you know, it's kind of crooked, you know, when you, but it looked like a nice thing to play with. You know, I haven't seen one in, you know, I've seen photos of it. I've never seen it in real life, so I wish I'd have. I doubt you could find, you know, on eBay because they're very rare, very rare. So as I said previously, the store closed in 1992, and because of competition, like from Best Buy and discount stores, which is a shame because we need a store like that now. And whenever we need something, we go there and we go buy it, and they delivered. So it was a good store. I miss it. We all do. Okay. The next thing I would talk about is the rotor ride at Riverview Park. Now, the rotor ride, that was designed and patented by a German engineer. His name was Ernst Hofmeister. And that was demonstrated at Oktoberfest in 1949. And it was an interesting ride. So when you entered the ride, it was like a barrel. And then you would line up, everyone would line up and you'd be pinned on the wall. And once the ride starts, you'd be spinning around. And it's called the rotation of the barrel creates an inward acting centripetal force. And once the barrel attained full speed, the floor is retracted and you're stuck on the wall, which sounds pretty cool. I never rode that. I would like to. And it would take about a few minutes, and then the rise would slow. They would slide down the wall, and then, you know, the floor would rise. So according to some people, that's a lot of fun. And the one at Riverview Park, the rotor ride, opened in 1952, and it stayed there until the park closed in 1967. Now, they opened another one that opened in Chicago was at Six Flags Great America, which at the time was called Marriott's. That opened in 1976, but it was also called the Cajun Cliffhanger, and it was like the same thing. But the thing is, on July 2000, there were two little girls that were injured on a ride, and they had injuries on their feet. Thank goodness they weren't killed, so that's good. And they did investigate, and they found the operators negligent, which I don't know why they did that, and they were fine. They didn't go to jail, so. And then it opened in 1976, and it closed at the year 2000. And during the off season, in 2001, it was demolished. They got rid of it, and now the roller coaster ride, the Joker, took its place. So it's there right now. And when I posted photos from Riverview Park, they did mention the rotor, and most people love that ride. They really did. But I haven't heard any injuries. If they had any injuries at Riverview Park, didn't hear anything. I don't know. So it was called the Cajun Cliffhanger. It's very interesting. You know, I didn't know that. but there are still some around in the United States, and some have closed. And let's see what. Oh, there was also they had three different rides at a university park called Kennywood. That's in a town called West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh. They have like old-fashioned roller coasters, also great new ones. So that sounds like fun. And they were, a lot of them were in the United States. I think there's a there's one famous one in Sydney, Australia. And it's at the Luna Park, Sydney, and it's still operating. So that's good. Okay, the next thing I will talk about is 8 o'clock coffee from A&P. Now, eight o'clock coffee is still on the market. You can still find them in stores, but A&P doesn't own them because they went out of business. A&P was it was there for a long time. So that started. I'll read the history of that. It was created in 1859, a long time ago, and they sold the brand around in 2003. The A&P stores left Chicago around 1981-82. I think in 82 they had left, and all the stores of A&P, mostly like in Canada, they closed in 2015. A&P was still around in the 80s and 90s on the East Coast, because I visited New York one time in 1988 and I saw a couple stores on the corner. So a couple of A&P and I went into one, and it was almost the same, but it wasn't like when I grew up. So the 8 o'clock coffee, excuse me, was very, when you entered in the store, you could smell it right away because it was, you grind it yourself there. You can also buy it when it's ready, when it's packaged. And so I'll talk about a little more of that. But first, I will we'll have a commercial from 8 o'clock coffee, and it's from A&P, and it's from 1975.
A&P cares about coffee, every single bean. So we keep the richness of our 100% Brazilian 8 o'clock coffee nature sealed in whole beans until it's ground to your order. Keeps 8 o'clock's Brazil bright flavor alive like no can. 8 o'clock's live flavor. Always a money saver at A&P and A&P's A-Mart food stores. Now 69 cents a pound of the 3-pound bag for $1.99. A&P cares about coffee and about you.
Okay, I am back. I'm glad you enjoyed that commercial. I'll talk a little more about 8 o'clock coffee. They had three kinds, three flavors. And according to some websites and information, they had, it came in packages of red, yellow, and black. The red one was a mild, mellow flavor. So it was like regular. And there was the other one was Red Circle Coffee, and that was rich and full body, so it must be very strong. And the other one was Bokar Coffee, and that came in a black, and it was vigorous and whiny. I'm not sure what that means. So that's interesting to that. And so I never sampled those, never did. You know, so that's a shame. So sometimes they came in packages like in paper or in cans. So the name of Bokar, and it was described as 100% Arabica beans, named for two famous coffee producing areas in Colombia, in the cities. And so it was from Bogota, which is the capital, and Cartagena. I think that's how you pronounce it. And when you grind it extra fine, excuse me, it makes a wonderful espresso. I like espresso. It's very good. Anyway, so for the grinder, my earliest memory of the A&P coffee grinder, when I lived in Roseland neighborhood in the early 1970s, there was an A&P in store nearby. It was on 112th Street. And Michigan Avenue, not too far from Gately's department store, Gately's People Store. And I remember sawdust on the floor, and my mom shopped there all the time, and I'm trying to remember because the coffee grounds were located not too far from the checkout lanes. And I remembered its distinctive red color and its smell, of course, that I mentioned before. And my mother never used it. She always bought ready-made or other brands, so which is a shame, you know. I was too young to taste it. So, and then I remember on the selectors, on the grinders, on the side, it had, like, for example, it had open pot grind, and then the other one was percolator grind, then electric perk, then drip pot grind, and then it had vacuum pot grind. I remember in the old days, some people used to boil coffee. I never had it, but my mom did that for a time. I think she still has the pot somewhere around, probably in the garage. And it was real. I used to see those on television shows in the 60s. They used to boil coffee. I'm sure it tasted good. Maybe it did. I don't know. But it probably took a while to make it, you know. And then the selector, when you look at the dial, you know, you could see on the dial, that is, and you have off and regular pot, perk, drip, extra fine, also medium or coarse. I think coarse meant strong. I like strong myself. So that's an interesting, thing. The coffee is still sold in stores. I saw it recently at a store near my house. I'm tempted to buy it someday, so we'll see. I don't know if it tasted, in the old days. Maybe it does, maybe it did. But, they come out with different flavors or how you wanted it. You wanted a house blend? You want it strong? Do you want it Colombian? Do you want flavored like French vanilla or chicory? Like that. Okay. So that's all for 8 o'clock coffee. Before I sign off, I'm going to talk about a couple things. This week I posted a photo from Bozo Circus. It was like a stand, and they gave them away when you attended the show, when it started. So I mentioned, when I posted that on my Facebook page and my social media accounts, I will be celebrating its 60th anniversary of Bozo Circus in September. So I will post every week, about Bozo Circus, and then when the show in September, I will probably put together a video, maybe write a story about my memories of watching Bozo Circus, which would be a lot of fun. Because the show debuted in September 11, 1961, so it's coming up. So this is the anniversary of the show. The character first appeared on television in June of 1960, and that was portrayed by Bob Bell. So I'll talk about that in a future episode, around September. And it should be a lot of fun because I think, according to some people that send me emails and comments, they're looking forward to that and because of their memories. Because that was one show I couldn't forget when growing up. It was fascinating to watch. I was mesmerized by that. So it'd be kind of fun. And another thing I want to mention, sometimes I get a couple of comments from people that, I don't really do my homework. And, if I talk about an episode, I get the history. Well, I do my best to get the background of each subject I speak about on the program. But maybe a couple of people haven't listened to all the episodes, so I do my best. I apologize, but we'll see. And because I'm still nervous doing this, I really am. But I enjoy it. I love it. I really do. And I'm a one-man operation. It's just me doing it. It'd be nice to have a guest, but I'm doing this out of my house, so I'm still in recovery, from prostate cancer surgery, but I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. So that's good. And that'll be all for today. I'm glad you can join me. This is episode 38, season 2 of Banshee Congoland Stories. I'm your host, Pete Costanza. I hope you can join me for my next episode. which will be episode 39. So, I just want one clarification. I mentioned on a previous episode about Amos and Andy, it was the 60th anniversary. It was not, it was the 70th, because it premiered on June 28th, 1951, not 61. So I apologize for that. Okay, so I'm glad you could join me. So it's bye-bye now for me, and here's bye-bye now from Ray Rayner. So take it away, Ray.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.